so that you can become educated so you're not getting ripped off. And interestingly enough, I think one of the big things that I've covered on this show over the last decade here has been this whole topic of informing you so that you can be an informed consumer of these hardware, software, and services associated with technology. Because I'm just going to be blunt. I think there's a lot of service providers out there, and there's a lot of places that you can be purchasing things from where you're either going to be getting the wrong product that's going to end up causing problems for you in the future, or it's going to be purchased incorrectly on your behalf by the reseller, or maybe you won't even, you'll pay for it and you won't ever even get the product. I mean, there's just a lot you need to know. And I would say that if you are shopping primarily based upon price, you're really shopping the wrong way when it comes to hardware, software, and services. So this show is going to focus on hardware and software, especially a lot on the software area, because software licensing is it's a big deal. Most everything nowadays is not necessarily perpetual licensing anymore. I'd say most software that you buy is on some sort of a subscription basis, whether you're talking about a renewable enterprise agreement or something that's a software assurance agreement, whether it be a product like Acronis or Office 365 or Microsoft Volume Licensing or Azure Credits. Or, annual licensing for Conducive Disk Keeper. Really, I don't care what it is. It's almost all done on a subscription basis, or it's a product for which there is going to be a renewal the next year, whether that be for maintenance and support and version upgrades or for other things. But that's typically what it looks like. Let me start with a few stories because I think that stories really help us all get on the same page and understand and learn from the mistakes of others. So I'm going to start with a hardware product called WatchGuard Fireboxes, which I'm sure you've heard me talk about before. And what I'm consistently running into when I am dealing with new clientele, and I mean, this is. It's just ubiquitous. It's absolutely 100% of the cases across the board. Customers, prospective customers, are getting bad advice from consulting firms who are also hardware and software resellers when the wrong business model is in effect. So, I want to help you understand what the business model is that you should never be doing business with. And give you an idea about the business model you should be dealing with. So, I can right now, off the top of my head, think of five incidents in the last year where people that I know had contacted their former hardware and software reseller, and they'd either contacted them or they'd been contacted by the hardware and software reseller for a renewal. Now, in this case, it was a renewal for a subscription on a WatchGuard Firebox. And in every single one of those cases, the wrong product was sold to the customer. So the customer ended up being sold by the consulting firm a renewal for an end-of-life product. Now, if that doesn't make your head explode, I don't know what's going to, because you might as well have just taken that money and lit it on fire. Renewing a subscription for a product that's already end of life is just blatantly insane, because that end of life product literally can't even make use of any of the new technological features that are included in the renewed subscription. So, that's the equivalency of paying for something and never being able to use it. So, why does this happen? Well, it happens because the majority of hardware software resellers, whether they're consulting firms or large organizations like CDW, CDW is not a consulting firm, they are a hardware and software reseller. In those cases, the individual who is talking to you for the renewal is not an engineer who is an expert in that product line. Now, I am an expert in that product line, and I can tell you my process is if somebody says, "Oh, well, I need you to quote me a renewal for blah, blah, blah," I don't just send them a quote for a renewal for blah, blah, blah. Okay. I say, "Oh, well, can we have a phone conversation and can we talk about it? Because I'd like to make sure that you're actually getting the right thing." So then I ask, "Well, what do you currently have? How are you using it? Can we look at the configuration together?" See, because I actually care, right? So not only do I know the product line at an expert level, but I really genuinely care that the customer is getting exactly the right thing for their needs. So I'm going to take the time to find out if what they have is worth renewing, or if actually it's better off for them to make utilization of a promotion where they can get a new appliance at a very competitive discount. Because again, it would be insane to purchase a renewal on a device that is already end of life or is very soon to go end of life. Makes no sense at all. But the reason that that doesn't happen when you're dealing with virtually every other hardware and software reseller out there is that the business model that they operate under is one where the person you're talking to is not an engineer who is an expert in the product line, who also simultaneously cares about you and is incentivized to make sure that you're getting the right product. I mean, that's a lot of parts and pieces to have in place. And I, frankly, out of all the consulting firms and hardware and software resellers that I know, I can only name one other organization that actually has the correct business model that correctly incentivizes engineers, as well as puts an engineer on the phone with you to make sure that you're getting the right product recommended to you, whether it be a renewal or a different product, or just a new model product. Okay. So what that means is that if you are calling up virtually every other hardware and software reseller out there, they're probably going to sell you the wrong thing and it will have very adverse long-term ramifications. And sometimes these mistakes are $2,500 mistakes, sometimes they're $12,000 mistakes. And I'm just talking about the stuff I've seen in the last 6 months. So if we take this example and then we extrapolate it into the software world, so I'll tell you two different examples. One example was a school who had purchased Microsoft licensing agreement software through CDW. Now, the way that educational licensing works and the way that most software licensing works is the reseller and distributor has to go through a certain level of training in order to understand how that licensing actually works so that they can theoretically be prepared to correctly advise and to work with their customers to ensure that the customers are getting the correct licensing and that the licensing is correctly registered to the client. Now, if you think this stuff is just simple, easy, oh, but it's just easy, I can tell you that in order to get a correct enterprise agreement, whether it be for education, government, or commercial set up, is probably going to take anywhere from 3 to 5 hours to really shepherd that licensing agreement through the process. So now, if you think about the value of people's time, the vast majority of individuals are not compensated to do that. And if you look at a large organization like CDW, technically the entire organization of CDW and their thousands and thousands of sales reps that they have are all, quote, authorized to quote and sell educational licensing to educational customers, even though that particular sales rep has never gone through the educational licensing training, nor have they ever taken the tests, because there are tests associated with this stuff, and you have to actually pass the tests. But the way that this stuff works is that when you have an individual at an organization who passes the tests, then the entire organization is actually authorized to quote and sell educational licensing. However, that has no bearing whatsoever on you getting connected to an actual sales rep who has gone through that training on their own. So you can see where things can really get all jiggered up. Now, the same thing applies in the nonprofit space. So again, obtaining the correct licensing, quoting it correctly, etc., really takes a lot of care. I mean, more than anything else, it takes care. And I just don't believe that anybody less than an engineer really does that properly well. Or, they just don't do that process really, really well. So, in this example of this school purchasing software from CDW, the fact that CDW sold them the wrong licensing agreement actually had an adverse impact on the school's ability to get Office 365 authorization. So, I mean, it basically screwed them out of the ability to get Office 365 licensing, and they had to wait till the next year when their existing agreement had expired, and then they ended up buying the software through Quality Plus Consulting. And then that licensing agreement was done correctly, and then they got the full authorization for all the Office 365 benefits. So, I mean, I myself personally have gone through all this licensing training, which is why I'm then qualified to shepherd that licensing through the process. But, literally, if you're dealing with somebody that has not gone through all of that, if you're dealing with somebody who does not, who's never been an IT manager, here's another absolutely fascinating component of this. If the person quoting you the software, if the person assisting you in your software purchase has never been an IT manager, if they don't understand the long-term ramifications of getting that software registered correctly, then you really should not be dealing with them. So I'll go into that example now. Typically, what will happen at a hardware and software reseller is they will just register the software to whoever the individual is that they're quoting out the software for, because really they have no training in this. They're just ragingly ignorant about how it should be done. They've never been an IT manager. They're typically a very, very low paid sales rep that is paid to just churn and burn, to process renewals, to process stuff, and they're paid on, base salary plus commission. So really, frankly, they just want to spend as little time as possible on your order, as they feel it takes to get the job done. And because they've never been an IT manager, they don't understand the significant adverse ramifications of doing that process incorrectly. So, as an example, they will typically just get that software registered to an individual, whoever is the individual that's placing the order. So now let's imagine you've got a business and you had Bob as your former IT manager, and all that software was registered to Bob as an individual, which is, it should never be done that way. I mean, how do you have any business continuity if it's done that way? Then Bob leaves your organization and you hire Scott instead. Right, so Scott is then now the new IT manager, except Scott doesn't have access to any of that software. You know why? Because the people who were the resellers who registered the software on your organization's behalf in the past all registered that software to Bob. So now you've got a problem where you don't have business continuity and all the software for your organization is registered to Bob. And is the answer to register all the software to the owner of the business? No, that's not business continuity either. And furthermore, realize that the IT manager must have full access to the email mailbox that all that software is actually registered to. So now, if you're the owner of the business, do you want the IT manager in your email mailbox? No, probably not. So what's the answer? Well, the answer is, in every single case, and I'm talking about every single case, I don't care if you're a one-person organization, you should have a generic, non-individual attached mailbox. Maybe it's called IT manager. Maybe it's called IT support. Maybe it's, any flavor variant of that. But it is not a distribution list. It is a dedicated mailbox for the receipt, retainment, and storage long term of all of the asset registration for your organization to that mailbox, so you have business continuity. So it doesn't matter if you have two, one, two, five, 15 IT people, whoever appropriately needs to have access to that mailbox can have access to that mailbox. And see, the reason you don't do this as a distribution list is because then if those emails come in, well, are they getting stored in a location where all of those emails are in one place where the appropriate personnel can access them? No. No, instead, with a distribution list, those emails are coming in and they're getting sent to, yet again, individuals' mailboxes. This makes no sense at all. So if you're going to register software, you must have a dedicated IT manager mailbox. And I'm not talking about receive, forward, and delete. No, that really does not accomplish the objective. The emails must be received there, retained there, and then stored there long term so that you have the business continuity information required for your organization so that every piece of technology, whether it be hardware, software, services, whatever, is all getting registered to that IT manager mailbox. Okay. Now, what sales rep understands this? I've never met one. In 22 years of being in this industry, I've never met a sales rep at a reseller that understands this. So every single time they are processing a renewal, or every single time they're registering software licensing on behalf of one of their customers, they're screwing it up. Every single time. Because it's getting registered to an individual, and now you don't have the business continuity, and then you think you saved $5 by buying software from them, but what ends up happening is later on, the IT manager is trying to get access to that and goes like, I don't know where that software is registered. I don't have access to that anymore. And you end up burning time, you have outages, there's just tons of issues, and it ends up costing your business money. Whether it's in terms of lost revenue because there was an outage that couldn't be resolved quickly, or something as absolutely flaming egregious as you paid $12,000 for some software that was actually never actually purchased and registered to your organization at all. And yes, I'm talking about an absolutely real example that I exposed 2 weeks ago. I started working with a new client, and they said, oh, well, we thought we had to buy our nonprofit licensing from this reseller here in Racine because, don't they have nonprofit licensing? And I said to them, look, anybody can get you nonprofit licensing. There's really nothing special about nonprofit licensing. There's just really nothing special about it. Anybody who's actually authorized can get you nonprofit licensing. And then they sent me over the quote from this reseller in Racine, and I looked at it and I'm like, they're not even giving you a discount here. They're actually quoting you MSRP. So why would you do business with them? Because they're not giving you a discount. And if you looked at the stupid quote that they sent over, they were going to make the same mistake again. All of the software was going to get registered to literally an employee that was no longer with the organization. Because see, when you're a reseller and you have to, and you're in the process of registering that software, you have to do it absolutely with 100% level of perfection. Otherwise, that licensing is not registered correctly to the organization, and there's major problems on unwinding that on the back end. And really, again, they don't have the training, they don't understand to do that because they're sales reps, they're not IT managers, they've never been IT managers. So literally in this particular case, not only was there no discount on the quote, the quantities were wrong. The sales rep at the reseller in Racine never bothered to call the IT manager and have a discussion to find out, boy, do you really need this stuff still? Or maybe do you need different licensing? Do we need to make an adjustment to your volume licensing agreement? Are these quantities correct? No, because that's too much effort. Again, they're only interested in closing the sale. They don't care that you're getting the right stuff. And I don't want to totally overgeneralize and say all sales reps don't care. What I'm saying is, I don't think that they actually understand the long-term major ramifications of not putting the due diligence into the process. I really just don't think they have the training. And they're never going to get the training because the people that are running the business that they work for don't understand that process themselves. And when they don't understand that process themselves, then they're never going to tell the sales reps that this is a process that actually needs to be followed. So literally, I ended up finding out that this customer had paid $12,000 to this company in Racine, this hardware and software reseller in Racine, and the company in Racine had never actually purchased the software and had never actually registered it to the customer. Now, we were able to prove this with absolute 100% certainty because a phone call directly to Microsoft was made to say, look in your records and find any and all purchases of software that was ever registered to this organization, regardless of who the individual was that it was registered to, and regardless of what email address it was associated with. And Microsoft irrefutably stated that software was never purchased by the hardware and software reseller. So now you may say, well, my goodness, why didn't the IT manager at the organization catch that? Well, because, your IT manager is not a CIO. Certainly some IT managers have excellent budgeting capabilities. Some of them are excellent at documentation, and organization and keeping track of all of these things. But typically those are skills that are developed over time through mentoring and coaching. Those are not skills that they just have off the bat. And there's a lot of IT managers that don't have those skills at all. And I know this because I talk to CFOs and I talk to CIOs, and they complain to me that their IT staff don't do adequate documentation. And a lot of what I end up doing in terms of working with their employees, is literally to train them those skills on this is how you do budgeting. You have to be aware of these things in terms of tracking your software. It has to be registered this way. You need to come up with a system to make sure that you've actually received what you've paid for. And if you don't receive it, well, then you need to go and, jump down the throat of the person that you bought it from. So it's very easy to have these sorts of mistakes occur when the CFO or the CIO is relying upon the IT manager to keep track of this stuff, but the IT manager is not keeping track of this stuff and they're relying upon the reseller, except, well, the reseller took $12,000 of your money and never actually purchased the software. So, as a consumer of these services of hardware and, software purchasing and consulting services or just implementation services in general, you really need to understand that this isn't about price. I'm not saying that price isn't important, but the number one thing that's really going to save you money over the long run is to partner with a vendor that first and foremost, actually cares enough about you and your long-term success of your organization to ensure that you are getting the right product, the right software, your software is getting registered correctly, your hardware is getting registered and activated correctly, Speaking of that, I have to throw out one other absolutely fascinating piece of this, which is that the vast majority of these hardware and software resellers, and I'm going to throw consulting firms in there as well, who do they have processing your orders is some sales rep. And again, the sales rep's never been an IT manager. So the sales rep will say, yeah, oh yeah, here, we got your check or whatever. We're just going to ship you the product now. You know what they don't ask is they don't ask, when do you need that product there so that it's there in time for implementation, but yet we didn't prematurely order it so that it's sitting there for a month, 2, 3, 5, 6 months, whatever, burning warranty when it actually hasn't gone into service production. And I see this happen over and over and over and over and over again. You want to talk about lighting your money on fire? When you're dealing with a company that puts a sales rep in charge of your order processing instead of an engineer who is working with you on your project, these sorts of catastrophic failures in the process are going to happen. So you're going to pay for a product that your project team, whether it be a combination of external or internal resources or whatever, may not actually be ready to implement. But the ship date of that product dictates the start of the warranty on that product. So what this means is you need to make darn sure that that product does not ship before it is actually ready to be implemented. The standard I follow is we look at project management, we look at the lead time to actually get that product, and then we say, okay, well, we know we're going to be ready to implement that product at this time. Now, this includes software purchases, I'm going to add, right? Because these things are almost always all subscription based and they require renewal. So, why would you pay for it before you need it? Doesn't make any sense. So, again, I figure out when that thing is actually required for the implementation, and then I back into the order date based upon the lead time for ship time. That way, you're getting the right product at the right time and maximizing the warranty time, and that product is not sitting around. But yet, what I see consistently happening with other hardware and software resellers is they're just interested in making the sale. And so they'll just ship you the product, and they really don't care that it's going to sit there for 6 months and you're not ready for it. And in the meantime, all this warranty is burning. And you may say, well, but my IT manager should be all over that and they should manage that. Does your IT manager really understand this process? Do they? I don't know. Maybe you should be working with a hardware and software reseller that understands this process, and so that your IT manager can get coaching and improvement on these sorts of things. So, just in recap, it is my very strong opinion of 22 years of experience working in this industry that it is absolutely crucial that you partner with a vendor that genuinely cares about maximizing the value of your purchases and ensuring that the things that you purchase fit into a documented and agreed to overall long-term strategic plan, or it is the equivalency of lighting your money on fire. And I see this happen all the time because what organizations are doing is they rely upon their IT manager to come up with things and then they bid it out. In almost every single case, you're going to get the wrong answer in that process. Well, that is it for today, and I hope you enjoyed the show. Feel free to send me your comments and questions.
You've been listening to Breakfast Bites, a program designed to help you navigate computer technology and the internet. The show airs the first and third Saturdays of every month and is hosted by Felicia King. To contact Felicia, visit her website, qualityplusconsulting.com. This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha. Chuck Wolbers, a special education teacher with Kenosha Unified Successful Transitions for Exceptional Students Program. And Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW-Oshkosh. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Well, good morning and welcome to Education Matters. And my name is Mike Keogh, and I'm one of the four